Chapter 5, World War II and the Society. On the 3rd of September 1939, Britain declared war with Germany, leading to 6 years of conflict. The Second World War really was the People's War, as the whole country banded together to help the war effort. This was also the case with Bournemouth Blind Society, who managed to help with the war effort and were a great help to blind evacuees who were sent from London, Southampton and other industrial towns that the Germans were targeting. Bournemouth also experienced a number of air raids, and the Society was needed more than ever to help its members in a time of hardship. They also continued with much of the great work they had started in the interwar period, in spite of emergency wartime regulations like the blackouts. The blind home remained open, the teachers and home visits continued, and the blind were still able to work. At the beginning of World War II, Bournemouth became a reception area for evacuees. The town became the home for children all over the country. Many came from nearby Southampton, which due to the docks was likely to be bombed. The case with Portsmouth was similar, with 300 blind people being evacuated to Bournemouth by November 1939. Bournemouth Blind Society had close links to the Portsmouth Society before the war began. During wartime, the Society took Portsmouth's welfare as their responsibility and quickly made efforts to visit the evacuation centres of the blind to track them down, as well as the blind home teachers from the Portsmouth Society who were in charge of the evacuation. It was not just the blind from Portsmouth who the Society helped, but any who were evacuated to the town. The Society was eager to give the support to those in need. Luckily, evacuees were the financial responsibility of the county they had been evacuated from. So when the help of the Society was needed, the Society would help straight away so nobody had to go without, and later ask their home county for the money. The Society helped the blind evacuees in many ways. An important one was making sure they had access to the wireless once they found refuge in Bournemouth. The teachers made sure radios were in working order and could help provide free radios through British Wireless for the blind. Many of the evacuees had already learnt handicraft skills in their hometown and with the help of the Society were able to find employment and join the home workers scheme. One was even employed by Bournemouth Pavilion to weave window boxes for flowers, while another woman, Mrs. Dixon, became a knitter on the scheme and was employed by a shop in Richmond Hill. The national blackout began on the 1st of September 1939, 2 days before the outbreak of war. It aimed to make it difficult for German bombers to target towns and cities at night. All buildings were provided with blackout blinds, so no light could escape through windows at night. Street lights were very dimmed or turned off, and other lights such as car headlights and traffic lights were fitted with slotted covers. Breaking the blackout rules became punishable by a fine, as the light could give the bombers a target. Things as simple as lighting matches or cigarettes outside at night were banned. The blackout was particularly difficult for visually impaired people, who found it even harder to see in the dark. The number of road accidents consequently increased. The Daily Telegraph reported in October 1939, road deaths in Great Britain have more than doubled since the introduction of the blackout. It was revealed by the Ministry of Transport accident figures for September, issued yesterday. Last month, 1,130 people were killed, compared to 617 in August and 554 in September last year. Of these, 633 were pedestrians. Sadly, a member of the Society who had recently been evacuated to Bournemouth was involved in a nighttime road accident and passed away in this increase of road accidents. For the visually impaired, trips, falls and walking into things all became more likely at night. The Society itself had to make many changes to its day-to-day running due to the blackouts. When tensions were rising in Europe in October 1938, the Society's Executive Committee decided that in the event of a state of national emergency, the case committee meetings should only be held every second month. With the difficulties of the blackout, this decision helped to keep committee members safe. This was especially important as many of the committee members, like Mr. Homer, were blind. One element of the war that affected the Society was rationing, as they had become more conscious of the resources they gave out. The Society gave the pastime workers wool for knitting, which often had to be purchased using coupons. The pastime workers then made money by selling the clothing that they knitted. However, as clothing became a rationed item, vouchers were needed to purchase these items. Rationing also affected other items the society would usually give to its members in need. Before the war, they had provided coal, milk, egg, and other necessities to members living in poverty. Due to shortages and rationing, these items became impossible for the society to provide, so it was decided to give out grants instead. Another wartime measure, a ban on coastal visitors, was difficult for a holiday resort like Bournemouth, as much of the economy depended on it. This affected many of the blind, who depended on renting to visitors in the summer as a large part of their income, and many had received financial help from the society during this period. This ban also made it difficult for the annual summer outings to take place, as the society usually travelled to other towns. Unfortunately, during the war years, these outings had to be cancelled. As in the First World War, thousands of Allied troops, including 10,000 Canadians, were billeted into the town, the majority in the many hotels requisitioned for the war effort. Bournemouth suffered bombing raids throughout the war, the worst of which in 1943, destroying 22 buildings, including the Metropole Hotel and the Central Hotel housing troops, and a further 3,000 were damaged. Overall, the raids on Bournemouth damaged 14,000 buildings, 171 of which were demolished. At the beginning of the war, the home of a blind woman was bombed. She escaped in only the clothes she was wearing. This showed the society how dangerous the war could be for the blind. With so many bombing raids, a number of them affected the blind living in Bournemouth, and the society could be a great support system for them in a time of shock. As she struggled to get insurance money, which especially was needed as her glasses were destroyed, the society was able to grant her £5 and a bed at the home for blind women. During the worst bombing raid in 1943, many of the society's members were affected. Mrs. Sims was bombed. The society made sure she was okay as she went to spend time with relatives in Wimborne. Mrs. Church's flat was completely destroyed. Luckily, a few days before this, the society had become aware of a space available in a local nursing home and moved Mrs. Church's there, so she wasn't hurt. An unexploded bomb in the street of Mrs. Gordon meant she had to be evacuated for 3 days while the bomb was dealt with. The home teacher, Mrs. Rakes, kindly took her in. Damage was done to the houses of four other members of the society. This included Mrs. Bailey, who had a bomb travel through two stories of her home and land on her bed, which fortunately did not explode. When the society came to check on her the next day, it was reported that she was cheerfully cleaning up the damage. At the home for blind women in Rupert Hall, the air raid warden instructed that in the event of an air raid, anyone at the society should go to the stage at Rupert Hall and stay there until the raid ended to keep safe. As the air raids in Bournemouth became more dangerous, the society made the decision to discontinue the monthly evening socials for the safety of the blind. The committee also decided to move its meetings to the Braille Library, which, as a smaller building, seemed safer. Shortly after the war broke out, it was reported in a meeting that many of our members are anxious to knit for the sailors, soldiers and airmen. The pastime workers began knitting for the Poole branch of the Mission of Seamen, donating pullovers, scarves, hats, helmet covers, gloves and socks. The pastime workers also arranged many sales in aid of the Red Cross, who helped the sick and wounded and any civilians in need of relief, especially those affected by the Blitz. It also became common for the pastime workers and home workers to donate the money they made at the annual sales of work to other charities helping the war effort. Evacuees were also eager to help the war effort, many becoming pastime workers and home workers themselves. The evacuees joined in with the sales as well as knitting for the Mission of Seamen. However, it was not just the evacuees, pastime workers and home workers who were eager to help the war effort. Beyond the sales and donations, the society arranged a number of events at Rupert Hall to fundraise for the war effort. To fundraise for the Red Cross, concerts at Rupert Hall were organised. The local Cubs group were also eager to fundraise. The children put on many performances at Rupert Hall throughout the war. These performances were much enjoyed by the blind and the public. Towards the end of World War II, the society became very concerned with the prisoners of war. In efforts to fundraise for their cause, the society arranged a whist drive to raise money. As many of the blind enjoyed playing cards and were beginning to miss the inter-club events, which had been cancelled, this was the perfect way to raise money. In spite of the war, the Society was able to continue much of its pre-war work. Daytime activities continued, as well as home and teacher visits. With over 300 extra blind people joining the Society due to evacuation, the Society were lucky to have many women offering to help as war work. Mrs. Rakes, for example, became a teacher shortly after the outbreak of war. This became incredibly helpful and evacuees increased the workload of the teachers. Mrs. Rakes was responsible for arranging a number of other events in aid of the Red Cross and the war effort on top of her teaching duties. Another example of a selfless act to help those in need.